From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Please join us now for a message from the Word of God, brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In the course of the broadcast, we'll also hear some Christ-honoring sacred music, as well as information as to how you can receive some of the gospel literature available without charge or obligation. For many weeks, Dr. Cairns has been preaching a series of messages on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Today, he concludes a message on a subject which has perplexed many of God's people through the years, the leading of the Holy Spirit. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing three important words that are the infallible indication of the Holy Spirit's leading: God's Word, God's Way, and God's Will. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns applies the truth of the substance of the Spirit's leading as he speaks of the significance of that leading and its implications for both the saved and the unsaved. First, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to answer the question, what is the gospel? The video version of these comments may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
Well, the answer to that is that the gospel is best put in biblical terms, what the Bible says it is. The word itself is simply good news, God's good news for men. The Bible gives you various ways of describing or defining that good news. In the simplest terms, in Paul's language, it is the good news of God reconciling the world to himself in and through the person and the work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Paul also said, and I suppose this is the nearest thing you have in the New Testament to an actual definition of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, that's the core of the good news. It deals first of all with a person, Jesus Christ. Who is he? That's a question that comes up quite often in the gospel story of his life. People ask everywhere he went, who is this? Who is this? And the Bible gives us the answer. This is, in Peter's words, the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is God's Son come into the world on a particular mission, sent by his Father to do something. And that brings us to his work. His work was coming into the world to live and to die and to rise again from the dead. Now, those are three important parts of the work of Christ. He came into the world without sin. He lived without sin, in obedience to the law of God. He died for sin, a sacrifice to put away the wrath of God that was against our sin. How do we know he actually succeeded in doing this? Well, he said he would give one indication, one sign, and that would be he would rise the third day from the dead. So that's why Paul emphasized the person, Jesus Christ, dying for our sins, as the Scriptures had said, and then rising again the third day, as the Scriptures had prophesied. This is the heart of the gospel. Now, why is this such good news, and why is it so important? Well, it's good news because, according to God's word, every one of us is born a sinner. We don't need to be taught to sin. We sin as naturally as breathing. It's in our nature. Every one of us knows from his own conscience he's a sinner. Not just against other men and women, but against God. Sin is the transgression or the breaking of the law of God. And it brings the wrath of God. The Bible tells us that God is angry with the wicked every day, that the wages of sin is death. it also tells us that we cannot do anything to save ourselves or to change ourselves. We may change our behavior, but we do not change ourselves or our status in the sight of God. It takes divine intervention. And that's the importance of the gospel. That's the necessity of God sending his own Son into the world, and yet sending him as a man. He was born of a virgin, without sin, but he was born. He was a real man. Now here we have the glory of the person of Christ, God and man, two distinct natures, divine and human, not a mixture, God and man, and yet one indivisible person. This is the Savior. The importance, the necessity. Now, come back to something I said a minute ago. How do we know he succeeded? Did he actually put away sin? Is he able to save sinners? Is he able, by his life and death, to reconcile us to God? Well, he said, I'll prove it. I'll rise from the dead. And that's exactly what he did. So what's the significance of that for us? Paul puts it like this. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. That is, he bore our sin in his own body on the tree. Having lived a perfect life and met our obligation to the precept of God's law, he died an atoning death and paid the penalty for our breach of God's law. And now the other side is, God makes us to be the righteousness of God in him. As he imputed, that's the biblical word, led to the charge of Christ our sin. So he lays to our account his righteousness, all the merit of his life, all the merit of his death. How do we obtain this? The Bible says we are justified by faith. By faith in Christ, Jesus said, come unto me. He said that whosoever believeth in him, not just about him, but in him, hath everlasting life. That, in a nutshell, is the gospel.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed his word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning, or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, are there true prophets in the church today? Or, why does God allow suffering? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Trouble with so many Christians who don't know what it is to live in God's will is that they want God's will when it suits them, and they want to go the way of the world at other times. You can't have God's will and be living in defiance to God's word. You can't have God's will and be living after a carnal fashion. You're going to walk outside of God's will. And I tell you, when a Christian deliberately walks outside of the will of God, that Christian's courting disaster. I've seen it happen again and again and again. I remember a young woman in the little church I grew up in Belfast. As a Christian, she had everything going for her. She had a beautiful singing voice. She sang with not only vocal beauty and power, but with tremendous spiritual power. When she sang, God spoke. She had tremendous personality. She was not the most beautiful girl in the world, though I think most girls would have been happy to look as she looked, but she was not the most beautiful girl in the world. But when she spoke, the light of glory seemed to shine from her face. She had a testimony that spoke to people. When God saved her, she was engaged to be married to a very ungodly fellow, a man who hated the gospel, a man whose heart was much against the things of God. She broke off the engagement and said, I can't deliberately set in to a union with somebody who's an enemy of God. And that's the stand she took, and God blessed her, and God used her. Then came the time when the defenses got weakened. She began to reevaluate. Well, is it the will of God for me not to marry this? Maybe it's God's will that I should. Maybe it's God's will this, and maybe it's God's will the other thing, no matter what the Bible said. She lost out with God and came to the place where her best friends could no longer speak to her. She wouldn't listen. She cut herself off. She went ahead and she did get married. I believe with all my heart that girl's a saved girl. But she has spent the last 25 years in misery. Oh, that's not that there's not forgiveness with God. There is forgiveness with God. But she, to use the old saying, she made a bed, and she has to lie in it. It's caused her much heartbreak, many tears. So many Christians, and they want God's will, yes, but they want their own will. If you want God's will, there are two things that are necessary. One is waiting on the Lord over God's word, and the other is walking with the Lord in God's way. Don't just go by feelings. Don't just go by circumstances. Don't just go by signs. Don't just go even by texts of Scripture. In fact, I would tell you to be very careful about taking texts of Scripture and spiritualizing them to mean something else and then saying this is the will of God. Now, do not misunderstand me. When the Lord starts to lead, He will touch your feelings. He will touch the circumstances. And He will very often even use His word to speak to you right out of the book, and He will make a text of Scripture appeal to you in a peculiar manner. The Lord will do that. But this is all the result of waiting on the Lord over the word and walking with the Lord in His way. We have got to get back to the centrality of the Holy Spirit in this matter. The Holy Spirit of God must be the one who leads us first to the Word, then in the way of holiness. If you're walking in the light of the Word in the way of holiness, it's impossible for you not to be led in the way of God's will for your life. It's impossible. Now that's the substance of the leading of the Spirit. As we close this morning, just a word about the significance of it. I want you to notice what the text says. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In other words, all who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Because all the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Now, the whole argument here is Christian assurance. How can I be sure that I am among the sons of God? How can I be sure that I am saved? There are various tests given to us in Romans chapter 8. I haven't time to go down them all this morning. But one vital test is the leadership of the Spirit of God in the life. If a man is led by the Spirit, then that man is a child of God. And if a man is not led by the Spirit, then he's not a child of God. So here then is the test. Now, we are not sinless. Let's get that in our minds, because if you're going to follow the ghost of sinless perfection, you'll never amount to anything in God's work. We're not sinless. But let's ask ourselves the question, do I desire God's word? Do I have a regard for God's word? Does the Word of God determine my whole outlook on life? Does the mind of the Spirit of God in this book of God, does that provide for me the framework within which I interpret the whole of existence and within which I seek to live out my life? As I come to this book to be led by the Spirit, do I honestly, chiefly desire the glory of God and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there within my soul a desire to be like Christ? You know, if there's a desire to be like Christ, there'd be an awareness of sin. There'll be a hatred of sin. There'll be tears over sin. There'll be brokenness over sin. There'll be times when we come to God and there's this awful weight upon us, Lord, we have failed you miserably. But oh, we long to be like Christ. Well, that's the leading of the Spirit. That's the mind of the Spirit. I suppose there's one simple way to sum it all up. If you're led by the Spirit, there'll be evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. Is there the fruit of the Spirit in my life? The Lord Jesus Christ said that every branch that bears not fruit is cut off. Why? Because it may be professedly a branch. It may be the case of a man who is professing to be a Christian and he's in the visible organism of the church, but he's not got the life of Christ within him and there's no fruit. So many Christians and so many preachers take the fruit to be simply soul winning. Let me tell you, that is not true. There are more Christians running around the North American continent today forcing people to make decisions for Christ in order to relieve their own guilt and in order to prove to themselves that they're truly saved. That's not how to prove you're saved. You'll never prove to yourself you're a child of God simply because you've led others to Christ. The Lord Jesus spoke in Matthew 7 to people who have done more than that. He says, I never knew you. And yet they say, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? My friends, you can never prove that you are truly saved by your service. You're not saved because of your service. No, no. The fruit. I'm not against Christian soul winning. I wish God's people all success in winning people for Christ, truly. But the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, is given in 9 particulars. I preached on them some weeks ago. The production of the Holy Ghost within the life, love. If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. I'm being honest with you. You can be a Protestant. If you don't love Christ, God curses you to hell. You can be a Presbyterian or a Baptist or whatever you will. You can be baptized once or 100 times. If you love not our Lord Jesus Christ, God says, anathema. The very first fruit of the Spirit is love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, have not this love, and become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You may have all knowledge, you may have all gifts, but my friend, if you do not have the fruit of the Spirit, if there is no love for Christ, no desire of heart for His glory, there's no salvation, there's joy. Christians can rejoice. Christians do rejoice. Oh, they mourn over themselves. As I said some weeks ago, Christians boast. If you can't boast, you're not a Christian. Sounds strange? The difference between the Christian and the ungodly man boasts in man. The Christian boasts in Christ. Rejoices in Christ. Peace. Peace with God through the imputed righteousness of Christ. Peace from God through the indwelling Spirit. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Ah, my friend, the Holy Ghost, when He comes into the life, while He doesn't immediately make us sinless, He does make a difference. Fruit of the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law, but you're justified freely by grace. Let me ask you, my friend, are you led by the Spirit? Because if any man hath not the Spirit, he is none of Christ's. May God truly write his word upon every heart. And I trust today, if you're not saved, if you've only got a religion that touches the outside but not the inside, you'll go and get on your knees before God today and cry, Lord, make me truly thine, indwelt and led by the Spirit of God. If you are a Christian, you ask the Lord for leading into and through the Word, into God's way, and into the very center of God's will.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.